I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, you know, sometimes I give the producer Tyler. And by the way, Tyler Scott assisted in a lot of the interviews and helped with by David Philpott, both producers here. Tyler's always behind the glass, night in and night out. Following in the big shoes of the one and only Michael Carroll.
Happy to help.
Yeah, and I know. And I'm so looking forward to working with you, Tyler, but I must say a big thank you to Michael Carroll for all the help that he's given me initially when I came over here with Dave Tepper to ESPN. So we're continuing it on with Tyler Scott. That's a great name. What was the name of that band?
Darkest Hour.
Darkest Hour from Washington, D.C. Very nice. So anyway, Tyler had gratis to put his song on, and we went a little heavy metal there. But we mix it up all the time, and we always do take your thoughts when it comes to music as well. 713-780-3776. We've got Eric Cubo Torres coming up on the show tonight. Still looking for his first goal. Designated player for the Houston Dynamo. We've got the manager Owen Coyle as well. Again, the Dynamo only sitting 6 points out of a playoff spot. Quick word here for Amigo Energy, who will remind you that Labor Day is over and that the summer may be over, but it's never a bad time to think about electricity providers. Amigo Energy, you remember, they were on the front of the Dynamo jersey, the first, I think they were the first ever sponsor on the jersey. Amigo Energy has a new featured product for Soccer Matters listeners for the month of September. Back to school is over, so it's time to get back to basics with Amigo Energy Basics 24-month program. Amigo Energy Basic 24, there's no minimum usage fees, there's no customer service, or payment fees. It's just a good low rate. Go to www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. Sign up for Basics 24 today, 888-995-9299. Tell them you heard it on Soccer Matters. So our thanks to Amigo Energy. Our thanks to 7-Up, Bud Light, Bayern Munich, the Daspit Law Firm, and, of course, the gorgeous Gale. All right, so Jose Mourinho has come out, has been a little bit more humbled, I guess. Said this is the only time in his career he's come out and had a flat season. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Chelsea. I do love the fact, and Chelsea will take on Maccabi Tel Aviv tomorrow. I do love the fact that Everton held on to John Stones. Sometimes you just want the clubs that are not as financially gifted or have billionaire owners to steal the player to solve their problem. And I love the fact that Everton kept Stones, the center back, and then put a beat down on Chelsea. I love it. And, you know, you don't hear any Chelsea fans tonight, but in the good times you do. I would love to hear more Chelsea fans, and that's the nature of the fan these days. Nobody talks about anything unless it's all good times. It's like you're a second-class citizen if your team's not winning. No, it's not. It's not the way it is. And maybe it's easy for me because I don't have a dog in the fight. I haven't really picked a team. I just want to see good soccer. Does that make me bad? You know, Mourinho has always used the thus against them as motivation. He's a master at it. It was interesting in that soundbite. Let's play it again. And what I want you to hear in this soundbite with Jose Mourinho is he's going to make it very clear that him and the players, everything is fine with him and the players. Here's Jose Mourinho again.
It's too much for them. They try, and nothing goes in their favor. But I have a good feeling with them and for them. So for me, as a coach, is the best thing that can happen to me. The worst thing are the bad results that we are getting, and to be fair, is the first time in my career that I'm getting that. But I'm coping well with the situation because I'm in their side. I'm not against them. I don't feel I have any reason to be here speaking against them or against their desire or against their non-frustration because they are frustrated. So I keep believing in them. Obviously, my career, my experience make me believe in myself.
So there are reports, and I don't know how founded these are, that he has lost the locker room. So that's why it's interesting that Mourinho is talking a little bit about, you know, how him and his players are getting along so well. But these Chelsea fans that are, you know, now just totally coming down on Jose Mourinho, seriously? I mean, if you're a real Chelsea supporter, you're still behind the manager. I mean, how can you, after they win the league last year, how can you be bailing on the guy? And you really mean to tell me we're going to sit here and we're going to say with players like Hazard, Costa, that this team is not going to get things right at some point? Now, I think there's a real fair question to question the inactivity in the transfer market and not getting cover at the center back position. I don't think there's any question for John Terry. I think that was evident last year. That crystallized in front of everybody. But, you know, it is pretty amazing how after five games in the Premier League that you can be 11 points out. And it is fair to call out Chelsea for poor performances. Why not? But humility is an amazing thing. It rears its head at the right times. It comes into the game of soccer. So, Jose Mourinho, what would we do without him, right? All right, in the Woodlands we go to Curtis. How are you, Curtis, tonight?
Oh, I'm doing good, Glenn. How about yourself?
Excellent. Thanks for the phone call.
Hey, you're talking about Everton, Chelsea. Were you watching the game?
I saw most of it.
Did you see the part where the Chelsea fans in the once they scored, they started chanting, "We're staying up."
I love that. I love that.
I mean, you travel. You travel from London to Liverpool. You got to have something to be happy about, I guess. But
that is awesome. You know what? These supporters groups are so clever.
It was Naismith who scored the hat trick.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I come off the bench and scored a hat trick. That was pretty amazing. That was really good. Really good stuff.
Yeah, jeez, how could I sit
did
here?
You happen to
thank
see
you
the
for
Liverpool
mentioning that.
Aston Villa. I mean, not Leicester.
Did I see Liverpool? I didn't see Leicester's game.
No, I'm sorry. Leicester City and Aston Villa.
I did not.
I don't know what those guys have to do to win a game. I mean, they were up 2-0 with 15. Well, I think they had a little over 20 minutes left, and Leicester City came back and won 3-2. So, but that was. But you were talking about the Amigo Energy jersey. I think I've still got mine with Zero on the back. So my daughter, bless her heart, got me Dynamo tickets for Kansas City for my birthday. So I'll have to put it back on.
Yeah, you should wear that on Wednesday night when Sporting Kansas City's in town.
Looking forward to it. Thanks,
yeah.
Glenn.
Thank you for bringing up Naismith as well. What a performance from him for Everton. Thanks to Curtis up in the Woodlands for reminding us of that great performance. You know, sometimes there's just so much to get in these shows, but Naismith wasn't even supposed to start and ends up coming in and scoring a hat trick against the defending league champions. I mean, just unbelievable. And Everton was so motivated for this. I mean, think of Everton's confidence and just feeling going into this game. They're at home. Their management has just staved off Chelsea and said, you're not taking our center back. Who, by the way, Stone celebrated like there was no tomorrow when Everton scored, which is something very admirable. Young center back. But just remarkable. And there was motivation. And Jose Mourinho, who is always often so hailed for the way he handles the press, and he's, you know, he's just an incredible manipulator of the press and all these things, which he probably is. He made the mistake, though, of calling Everton a small club. Now, you can condition that any way you want, but Everton is going to take that as disrespectful, because Everton has incredible history and has been around forever. So when Jose Mourinho says that, thank you very much. We're going to use that as motivation. I don't think there's any question. Barclays Premier League, it's pretty interesting right now. Now, let me take you back to Major League Soccer. And again, I would love to hear from you, 713-780-3776. Let's go back to BBVA Compass Stadium. This was a very highly anticipated game. I had the call on Root Sports along with Eddie Robinson. Now, going into this, in our pregame show, we said a couple of things. The Dynamo need a night of good possession here, of managing this game through ball possession, which they didn't get in the first 45 minutes. They had a hungrier Real Salt Lake out there. We also mentioned that, look, there's no question you have to take the edge off Javier Morales. You have to take the edge off of João Plata, the little diminutive Ecuadorian. And guess what? You better take care of this new designated player. I think Martinez is his name, from Argentina, who played at Boca Juniors, who, by the way, was playing like there was no tomorrow. So it starts off. Real Salt Lake, this game's about to go into halftime at 0-0, and unfortunately, the Dynamo fall asleep at the wheel here, concede a goal right on the stroke of halftime, which now puts them in a position of chasing the game.
Morales, Plata, top of the box here. The Dynamo need to get aware here. A shooting opportunity. What a save, Derek! It needs to be clear that it's not. It's stuffed in by the one and only Javier Morales. He has done it again to the Houston Dynamo, and he does it in stoppage time.
So then the Dynamo would try to get back into this game, but guess what? After coming out and having a header picked out of the corner by Brad Davis, an unbelievable save, Nick Raimondo, Devin Sandoval, minutes later, scores the second goal for RSL.
This is the question that Owen Coyle's been asking of his team. We've been asking of this team for consistency. The Dynamo have started this half really good, really sharp. Can they keep this pressure up and get a goal?
Beckerman, Morales in a good pocket of space. Early ball, Plata. Shall Plata be careful here? The Dynamo in trouble. Derek with a big save. It's smashed in. It's Devin Sandoval. It's goal number two. Only his second of the year. And the Dynamo are in real trouble here at BBVA Compass Stadium.
Brad Davis would go to the penalty spot. It was not a penalty, in my opinion, but man, did he take a penalty of conviction. Unbelievable penalty kick to pull the Dynamo back in it.
The captain delivers with conviction. It is 2-1 now. It's game on here at BBVA Compass Stadium. The Dynamo are back in it in the 65th minute.
But then the designated player, a new designated player, his first start, Juan Martinez, they call him Burrito after Ariel Ortega of Argentina. He played at Boca Juniors, Corinthians in Brazil. He gets the third goal, assisted by Javier Morales.
And Morales again picking the ball up in a very dangerous area. He lays it on. It's real trouble here. It's smashed in. It's 3-1. It's a response. It's Juan Martinez, the Argentine. And it is 3-1 again, orchestrated by Javier Morales.
For me, RSL, a better team in midfield. And it starts there. But, you know, at home, the Dynamo had been so good up to this point. So now it's all about going to Philadelphia and getting a result. Game by game, they're still only 6 points out in the Western Conference. 713-780-3776. Let's go to East Houston. And Paul, how are you?
How you doing, Big Daddy Davis?
Paul, how are you, buddy?
I've been all right. I heard you over the phone over here about, you know, the last game over there, which is pretty brutal. I'm not going to lie. It was pretty brutal. You know, fans are leaving right after that third goal.
Yeah, that's not hard. Something, I mean, you know, often you see at BBVA Compass Stadium.
No, it's not, because they generally stay to the end. But if you noticed, because, you know, I've been there since opening day. You've been there as well since opening day. We got great fans. We got, what, 17,000 at minimum every game?
I think maybe sold. I don't think showing up. No, there's not 17,000 showing up every game.
No, there's not.
I'm going to have to stay strong there. I want to be realistic. I'm in that stadium, Paul, and you are.
Yeah, I am as well. And
we have to challenge the fan in Houston now, and I'm glad you brought this up, because those of you who have tickets, because the tickets are sold, you got to show. You got to get in the seats, and if you're not going, you give them to somebody. But it makes it hurts the Houston Dynamo, because
it hurts the Dynamo. Yes, but you got to remember, the Houston fan base here, unless the going is good, we generally don't show up. And I'm a diehard Houston fan. I mean, born and raised out
so
here.
So we're a fair weather fans then. Paul, you just called out the entire Houston community as a fair weather fan. Do you know that?
They know you live
in East Houston, by the way.
Yeah, I know they live in Houston. I live in Denver Harbor, too. If you see me around the park, I'm a big guy walking a boxer dog, okay?
He looks like a linebacker. I wouldn't mess with him.
Bring it. I'm a 275-pound dude.
Buddy, I'm not messing with you. I told you that. I said, I'm glad you're next to me. I'm not messing with you.
I am, because if you even play attention, because I know you have Root Sports. By the way, I saw you earlier today, the re-air of Dynamo All Access. You're looking like a sexy beast with that suit on, as usual.
Now. Easy, Paul. Easy. Easy, brother.
Seriously, look, I love my teams. I've gone to Rockets games. I've gone to Astros games whenever it was empty. I've been to the stadium. I've not really missed a home game at all, because you know why. I don't miss Dynamo home games too. Dash games,
nope.
As well, where we only sell the first bowl out there. I love our team. But what do they have to do to take that next step?
I think, again, we all have to be...
Our midfielders are mediocre at best some games.
Well, I'm not going to agree with that. Listen, I think they got outplayed against Real Salt Lake. That's a fair observation. But I think Ricardo Clark has been their best player of the year. I think the bigger question for me down the road is, and again, this is a big turnover, Paul, right? Remember, you got a manager who's new. You got a staff that's new. You've got a new general manager. You've got an entire structure of the team changed. Because remember, every soccer decision was made by one man before. That was Dominic Kinnear, the head coach. So it's a whole change in philosophy. It's a total change in philosophy. It needs time to simmer. They need to get some new players in. That's going to happen. I don't think there's any question. I think they're players playing for jobs. This is the reality of professional sports, but they deserve time. I mean, come on. You got to give the Dynamo time here. Paul,
I know, I'm a patient fan. You know me, I'm a patient fan, well, and I'm going to be fine about it.
Let's be patient here. Now, if they get into the playoffs, it's an overachievement. That will be a great capper. They get Kubo Torres going. And one day, will the Dynamo play with sort of a number 10? We'll see. But I got to go, Paul. Thank you very much for the phone call. That's Paul from East Houston. I will see you there, Paul. You're the best. Thanks for calling in tonight. We'll take a break. Let's see. We're coming back. What do we got, Tyler? We got Kubo Torres next. We got Eric Kubo Torres. Coming up next from down at practice today, fresh material from Kubo on trying to connect with Will Bruin, play together, a number of different topics I interview him on. It's coming up next, Eric Kubo Torres. Take a break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
Couple of games on tap tomorrow. Chelsea, Maccabi Tel Aviv, Bayern, Bate, Dynamo Zagreb, Arsenal. Let's see how Arsenal does. Dynamo Kiev and Porto. All right, right now I've got a pair of tickets. Six caller to 713-780-3776. Pair of tickets to Dynamo Sporting Kansas City Wednesday, September 23rd. That could be a very, very big game. And that could be the Dynamo playing to get into the playoffs at that moment. Dynamo Sporting Kansas City, 713-780-3776. And now I lead you to earlier today when I caught up with the Mexican soccer player, Dynamo designated player, Eric Cubo Torres.
Hey, welcome back to ESPN 97.5 Soccer Matters. We continue to roll on with the best in soccer talk. And as always, I thank you, the listener, you, the caller, for joining us on this show each and every week, every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. We remind you, Facebook, Soccer Matters. That's where you can follow this show and also Dynamo All Access on YSR 1560, our sister station. Twitter, Glenn Davis Soc. Instagram, it is Glenn Davis Soccer. All right. Earlier today, I caught up with Dynamo striker Cubo Torres, still looking for his first Major League Soccer goal, still looking for a bit of confidence down at Dynamo Training.
Joining us now, Cubo Torres. Cubo, just let's talk about your progress and getting integrated into the team.
Vamos a hablar un poquito acerca de tu progreso y tu proceso de integración al equipo. Hablamos un poquito acerca de eso.
Bueno, voy poco a poco. Cada vez me siento mejor. Me siento adaptado, no ha sido del todo fácil, ha sido un poquito diferente a la adaptación que tuve en Chivas USA, pero me siento muy contento y me siento feliz de que voy mejorando cada día, ¿no?
Yeah, it's been a gradual process. It hasn't come as quickly as I probably would have wanted to. It's been, you know, slowly but surely, little by little. And like I said, you know, it hasn't been as easy or as smooth as I would have preferred or as it was at Chivas USA. But, you know, we're doing things little by little and hoping for the best.
Is it difficult to get to understand your teammates? How does that happen? Quickly, fast? Mixed. How does that happen?
Es difícil tratar de entender a tus compañeros en el campo de juego o fuera de ellos. O sea, llega fácil, llega difícil. ¿Cómo sucede?
No, claro, no es fácil. No es tan fácil adaptarte o no es tan fácil entrar a un sistema o un esquema en pocas semanas o en pocos días. Lleva su tiempo. Pero bueno, sin duda el equipo me está ayudando, los compañeros y el cuerpo técnico me están ayudando, me están arropando lo suficiente para que me sienta bien y para que me sienta muy adaptado y me sienta pleno y feliz lo más pronto posible dentro de la cancha, ¿no?
Yeah, it's never an easy process, right? You know, there's always a transition period that you have to go through whether you want to or not. But the thing is, the players and the coaching staff have made it sure that, you know, I get not only adapted but adjusted to the city and the team as quickly as possible, which has made a big difference.
Has it been a little bit more difficult and pressure-filled, the fact that so much, you know, promotion has been made around Cubo and his arrival and scoring goals and all the hype that comes with the media?
Claro, ha creado quizás para ti un poco de presión adicional el hecho de que se hizo mucha promoción, se esperaban grandes cosas de ti, se continúan esperando grandes cosas de ti. Ha creado promoción, más bien presión para ti.
No es presión. Es una responsabilidad, sí. He tenido varios temas en mi carrera en Chivas de Guadalajara. He jugado en un equipo importante en Chivas donde también se maneja muchísima presión. Y bueno, al estar aquí no se genera tanta presión como en otros lados, ¿no? Me siento tranquilo por ese lado. Sé que los goles van a llegar, sé que voy a marcar goles, sé que voy a marcar muchos goles aquí. Simplemente es tener paciencia, estar en el momento ideal y que las bolas caigan. Y los goles van a caer, ¿no? No me siento presionado, no me siento saturado de la cabeza, me siento muy tranquilo y con la mente de que los goles van a caer por sí solos, ¿no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's no pressure, at least on my end. It's just knowing that, you know, I was brought here to do one thing and one thing alone, which is to score and to help the team. And I know that the team will create those situations for me. I know that I will score and that the goals will come and that the balls will fall in the right place at the right time. It's just a matter of me doing those things that I need to do in order to put myself in those particular positions. There probably isn't as much pressure here as there was in other situations that I've been involved in. For example, I played for Chivas Guadalajara in Mexico, which is a very important team. You know, at Chivas USA, I had to deal with a certain amount of pressure. So it's just a different situation. The pressure itself is not so much here as there was in other places, and I feel at ease. I know that I will be able to create those situations and put myself in those situations where I can actually score and contribute to the club.
How about his recent trip away, training with the Mexican under-23s, Panama, playing, I think, against Cruz Azul as well?
Obviamente, háblanos un poquito acerca de con la sub-23, de tu viaje con la sub-23. ¿Cómo fue esa experiencia, los juegos que tuviste, la actividad, etcétera, ¿no?
Bien, fueron unos partidos que me ayudaron mucho. Tuve actividad física muy importante, dos entrenamientos por día. Me siento muy bien, ahora estoy mentalizado. Viene un torneo preolímpico para ganar un pase a las Olimpiadas, donde donde quiero estar convocado, siento que hice las cosas bien allá, y bueno, si me toca la oportunidad de estar, sé que lo voy a representar a México de la mejor manera, y bueno, estoy trabajando también pensando en tener convocatorias a la selección de mi edad, o sea, a la selección mayor, estoy trabajando aquí día a día para estar allá, y bueno, sé que ahora en un poco tiempo hay un torneo preolímpico donde quiero estar y donde hay posibilidades de que pueda representar a mi país, ¿no?
Yeah, no, they were very good games, primarily for the fact that it gave me activity and it gave me the opportunity to play, you know, to have some flight minutes, so to speak. And of course, you know, just keeping an eye on the prize, which is the fact that there is a pre-Olympic tournament that we're trying to participate in and to qualify for an Olympic Games. So right now, that's really the goal, right, to continue to be consistent, to play at a consistent level, to be able to qualify to those Olympic Games and to garner call-ups, not only for that, but also for the main national team, for the senior national team, which is the ultimate goal.
What would it mean to Kubo to represent Mexico at an Olympics in Brazil?
¿Qué significaría para ti representar a México en unos Juegos Olímpicos en Brasil?
Bueno, sería la mayor satisfacción, sería un sueño cumplido, sería un sueño que bueno, desde niño lo imaginaba o me podría ver en unas Olimpiadas. Y bueno, ahora está la posibilidad primero de ganar un pase, de ganar la calificación, de ganar el boleto para las Olimpiadas y después seguir trabajando para estar en la lista del profe Raúl Gutiérrez y ganarme un boleto para las Olimpiadas, ¿no? Pero bueno, ahorita estoy mentalizado en trabajar duro para ganar un pase, para estar en las eliminatorias en el preolímpico y después enfocarme en un año más en estar en las Olimpiadas.
Yeah, no, it would be the culmination of a lifelong dream, really, a dream come true. It's something that I've been, you know, planning for and dreaming of since I was a child, right? So that's something that I've been working toward and I continue to work toward. Obviously, you know, we need to do well and to play consistently in order to be able to fit into the plan that Raúl Gutiérrez wants to put together, but you know, again, you know, the goal right now is to first make the team to qualify for that pre-Olympic tournament and then fight for a spot in Brazil.
How about in the Super Clásico, as a young man scoring goals in such a match of importance, a match of grand magnitude in Mexico for Chivas against Club America? Can you reflect a little bit on that moment?
Sí, hablar un poquito acerca de los goles que has anotado en los Super Clásicos en México, ¿no? En su momento, obviamente, es el mayor partido, ¿no? En términos de popularidad y en términos quizás de atención. Habla un poquito acerca de lo que eso significó para ti.
Bueno, son partidos muy importantes, son partidos que siempre voy a recordar en mi corazón, en mi mente, los voy a llevar presentes. Son partidos especiales, son partidos que todo México los ve. Y bueno, que al final se quedan guardados en la memoria de toda la gente. Los llevo guardados, los goles que pude meter, las participaciones que llegué a obtener, los triunfos en clásicos, son partidos muy bonitos y que siempre los voy a recordar, ¿no?
Yeah, no, these are very important games that everybody watches, that, you know, people pay attention to and that people remember for a long time to come, even after they're done. So to be able to score in those games and to be able to contribute is just a very nice memory, you know, just a great satisfaction personally and professionally. And, you know, just it means a great deal to me.
Do fans still come up to him and remember and you know, revisit that moment?
No te dicen nada los aficionados en algún momento de que te vi anotarle al América en algún momento, ¿no?
Sí, lo recuerdan, como lo comento, se recuerdan esos partidos mucho. Hay mucha gente latina acá que recuerda mi paso por Chivas, que recuerda los clásicos, seguido lo recuerdan y bueno, se siente padre que te recuerden por las actuaciones que hiciste o por los goles que pudiste hacer en partidos tan bonitos como los clásicos, ¿no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, people do still come up and they remember it. Remember, you know, what I just mentioned, the fact that people, you know, reminisce about those games and they stay in people's minds long after they've been played. So, again, you know, it's just a very nice feeling to know that people remember those things, especially with games as big as those.
How about getting to know Will Bruin playing next to him? Of course, two strikers have to play as one. It sometimes is difficult. You need minutes to get next to somebody. It's been brief. How is that blossoming, potentially?
¿Qué tal jugar con Will Bruin dentro de la cancha? ¿Qué tal ha sido esa unión para ti? No, obviamente quizás es un poco difícil por el hecho de que ha sido poco el tiempo que tienen juntos, pero ¿qué tal ha sido para ti?
Bien, cada vez vamos mejorando, cada vez me siento mejor, él también. Nos sentimos muy contentos, ¿no?
de poder estar jugando los dos. En lo personal, me estoy adaptando más a su modo de juego, me estoy adaptando más a jugar con él. Pero bueno, al final me siento cómodo, nos sentimos cómodos y sabemos que si jugamos los dos y hay pelotas en el área, va a haber muchos goles para el equipo, ¿no?
Yeah, it's a work in progress. It's a process of mutual adaptation. You know, he's adapting to me, I'm adapting to him. And obviously, as you've mentioned, it's been brief, but of course, you know, we're continuing to work on that dichotomy and that chemistry on the field. But we know that if we continue to work on it and if we continue to improve, the goals will come.
Gracias, Kubo.
Okay, thank you so much.
That was Eric Kubo Torres. We'll take a break here on ESPN 97.5 Soccer Matters, brought to you by Amigo Energy, Danish Inspirations, the Daspit Law Firm, and 7-Up. It is break time when we come back. A visit with the Dynamo manager, Owen Coyle, on all subjects, Houston Dynamo.
It's not Michael, and this is not Doug. It's one death rapper. I know I can hang. I'm ripping Run DMC like Cooper Cool in the gang. Roll to the rock, rock to the roll.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. And each and every week we have an opportunity to talk to the Dynamo manager. Today, down at Dynamo Training, I talked to the manager, Owen Coyle. My understanding, you're on a way to a crossbar challenge with Kubo Torres, Giles Barnes, yourself, put on by Audi.
Yeah, it's they're one of our esteemed partners, as you know, Glenn, and it's a great opportunity for obviously myself, Giles, and Kubo to mix with some of their staff. They've got three obviously different branches, and some of their employees are going to take part in the crossbar challenge to see what branch comes out top. So I think myself and three of the lads from Audi West, we're certainly looking to win that one. It'll be a bit of fun, and it's great to show our partners that they're really involved with the club.
Yeah, and Audi, so involved in the world of soccer these days. Of course, they hold the Audi Cup in Munich, Germany, with Bayern Munich every 2 years as well. All right, well, let's get into the Houston Dynamo, because that's why we're here tonight. Let's talk a little bit about this game against Real Salt Lake. And just first, let's get your overall general impressions. I did watch your press conference after the game. I could sense a real frustration. Brad Davis mentioned he thought the team was a bit fragile. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think all of that, Glenn. The biggest single one was the frustration. The frustration of losing the game. We were unbeaten, as you know, for over 4 months at home, and it was a proud record, one we wanted to keep intact. And when I give balance to the game, as I always do, we didn't actually play badly in the game, and you know this because you covered it, Glenn. Offensively, we created so many clear-cut chances. I mean, Nick Romando was the goalkeeper of the week in the MLS. In three, I thought, outstanding saves and some other ones that you would probably expect them to save. And the frustration was that we never defended well enough and we conceded soft goals and we conceded one right in the stroke of half-time. So all of a sudden, you're chasing the game. Well, we came out, started the second half and in terrific form, should and could have scored. And then all of a sudden, found ourselves two down. We pick ourselves up again, get back in the game. And in 2-1, I feel really confident. We would go on and win with the backing of the fantastic support we have. And we never gave ourselves a chance. Within 2 minutes, we're giving a soft goal away and we're looking to play catch-up again. So it was a frustrating night. There's no getting away from that. Did we perform to a maximum? No. But there was a lot of good stuff as well. So when all said and done, when it was a game that we lost, and we felt we could and should have won. And that would have put us right in the mix for trying to attain the playoff spot. We're still in there with a great chance. But all we're doing every week is given by losing that type of game is giving ourselves a harder task. But we've got ready for Philadelphia. We'll pick the bones of it. Again, we'd love to have a fit and healthy squad. We've not been afforded that luxury all season. But what we have available, we'll make the best of. And that's what we do moving into Philadelphia.
So it's one game at a time. But if I looked at that first half, and you absolutely had a clear-cut chance with Ricardo Clark, carved out beautifully. Romando made a great save. Would have put you up 1-0. But if I look at the overall first half, and the statistics would back this up, Real Salt Lake really seemed to come out and it seemed to have a little bit more of an edge, seemed a little bit more urgent to me, and won the battle of possession in the first half. Was that a little disappointing to you? Because, you know, I know you preach consistency, and this is not something you can click your fingers, obviously, and get overnight with a new team and new players and all the transition that's going on. But Was that a little disappointing to you at home based on the fact that you came into this one with such a great home record?
Yeah, I think there's some merit in that, Glenn. I think when all said and done, the way to, as you know, to retain possession and be the team that's bossing the game is to pass and move the ball well enough. And again, we know the surface wasn't ideal, but it was the same for both teams. And what I felt was, I mean, I don't think when I went back to the game, I never felt particularly threatened in respect of the ball that Salt Lake had. The extra man in the middle, because obviously we went with two strikers, with Eric Torres, with Will Bruin, but they never, ever at any point, I think Tyler Derrick had one save and from Flatter, they had a free kick that wasn't a free kick to begin with. So as much as they had a little bit of possession, Glenn, they never really were cutting us open. But I do believe that we should have taken care of the ball better. And when we did, as you mentioned, we had the best chance in the first half with Ricardo Clark. And that was after some very good play. And if we'd have scored the goal, as you know, the goals change games in the MLS. First goal's always, always important. And that would have then, I certainly think, been the catalyst for us to go and win the game 2-0 or 3-0. But the margins, Glenn, are so fine in this league. And you have to make sure when good chances, and not good chances, for me, gilt-edged chances present themselves through hard work and good play, that you have to take them. We didn't do that the other night, and we lost soft goals. And that was the story of the game. You know, there's always a tendency when you lose a game to overanalyze it. And when you win a game, you know, people think, oh, you're Real Madrid, you lose a game. You've got to get balance. You've got to understand the reasons for it. We certainly do. We know that the goals we conceded have been very soft. And having said that, we've improved beyond recognition in respect of the amount of goals that the club conceded last year in the Eastern Conference. But it's still an area that we can get better to do that. Do you want your full personnel fit and healthy to help you? Of course you do. But within what we've got, we can still do better in terms of not giving up those soft goals. And that really was the frustration for me, Glenn, within the game. Even then, in the 47th minute, with the 2 minutes added, we've got to make sure that we come in at 0-0. We had a free kick, 46 minutes and 15 seconds, 45 seconds of the half length, and we kicked a big ball to the wing. We've lost possession, and we've conceded the goal from that point. We've got to understand how to game manage, and that comes again with the young players and everything else, integrating, learning as you get through this process. As I said before, we know there's hard work ahead of us, but we also know as well we've put a lot of hard work in already.
So that was sort of a decision time relative to score that's got to be better at that point.
Yeah, it's game management. You play the game, you know what it's about. I certainly know. And this is something we're trying to, you know, teach and learn these players how to do that. How to understand when a game, it might be late on in a game, but you're going to go up, how to manage that game and make sure you get your 3 points. And so I think that comes with, you know, it comes with game awareness, soccer intelligence, all those bits we speak about. But the talking and everything else, you then have to implement it. And as I said to the players, when they step on that field, that's when they have to bring those the attributes, the qualities that we're looking for.
Now I'm going to go to Javier Morales, because a lot of people say the number 10 is dead and all that, and I guess I could argue it either way. It's a fun topic to debate, that's for sure. But Javier Morales last year, as you know, came in here, scored a hat trick, scored 15 seconds in. I know you talked about this man and this player. Yet at the end of this night, he got on the ball a lot, and he also was a part of all three goals. So, I mean, strictly, we talked a lot in the pregame, and this is a very simplistic view, I understand. But we said if you control Javier Morales tonight, this is a big plus for you. How come the team couldn't control him a little bit better? Because it seemed to me, and I could be wrong, and I want it from you, because what I have to say doesn't really matter as much. How did he get on the ball so much? Because he got it in good areas at times, and he was sort of drifting in between the midfield and in front of the Dynamo back four.
Well, very simply, the reason he got the ball going is because we gave it away in cheap possession. When all said and done, you know, when people, wherever they were in the lineup, whether they line up with a number 10, whether they line up with two strikers, whether they line up with two wingers, in terms of shape and everything else, the game will be dictated by who takes care of the ball better. If I come to play you and you're in a 4-4-2 and I'm playing a 3-5-2 and my players take care of the ball and pass and move the ball, I'm going to dictate the pace of the game to you, Glenn. I'm the team that's going to be in charge because I'm taking care of the ball better. And there was an element of that. I mean, Javier Morales, he scored the goal. I've got to say, the first goal, when you know, we're not deflecting it, not taking off, Sandoval's offside, Glenn.
Yes, so, of course.
That's the first. And as I said before, there's always this, that you people overanalyse everything else. If that decision is given correctly, you're still 0-0. And the game, as far as I'm concerned, will be very even. We had the best chance in the first half, and we never took it. Morales is a good player. He's been a good player for many, many years. Giovinco is a good player. But when you, as I say, take care of the ball, then it restricts the opportunity they get. And it's, when all said and done, I think Morales had the goalie scored. Even then, when the ball breaks, they're in place for two of their goals, as you know. So it bits and pieces. But I think because they've won the game, then it's highlighted more. Mm-hmm. If, as I say, we score the first goal with Ricardo Clark, then Javier Morales wouldn't be getting mentioned.
Now, was Juan Martinez, their new DP, the 29-year-old Argentine who played at Boca Juniors, you know, this was only his second game. I thought his desire, his edge, his effort also lent a lot to Real Salt Lake, and it may be a very timely signing for him because he seemed very active, and that guy was playing like it was a World Cup final.
Yeah, well, obviously, they spent a lot of money on coming in. I think it was over $1 million, wasn't it? They've invested in him and everything else. So that tells you that he's a very good player to be in with, Glenn. So there's no getting away from that. And, of course, he wants to show everybody his quality. He's been playing, he's fresh, he's fit, he's got everything, all those qualities. And they prefer him. He scored a good goal. Having said that, you've played the game long enough, Glenn, to know that that goal was so easily avoidable from our point of view. Yeah. And again, it's one of those ones because somebody scored a goal, then they want to talk about it. If you don't score the goal, I think there's been very little mention. But when all said and done, he looks a good player, and I think he'll do well for Salt Lake.
The Dynamo Next go to Philadelphia this weekend. You're back in training this week. Kubo Torres got 45 minutes. It was kind of a tough first half for him. He didn't seem to get the ball in the areas that he wanted to. Still a work in progress. I know there's a lot on his plate right now. Talk a little bit about him and hoping to get him on that score sheet and building a bit of confidence with him.
Yeah, it's like anything else. Strikers thrive at confidence. And the kid never played for 7 months at Chivas Guadalajara. He was obviously delayed coming into ourselves. And then from that moment on, you're playing catch-up. He'd been away with the Mexican Olympic squad last week and came back. And if truth be told, that we never took him out because playing poorly, his groins were tight, and we didn't want to exacerbate that problem and make it worse. So we're kind of protecting him a little bit. I do believe that come a good pre-season under his belt, you're going to see him back to his very best. He's still capable between then and now scoring goals towards the end of the season. But there's no doubt in time, Kubo Torres will show everybody what he's got, Glenn. Again, people have got to have an understanding. He's a young man. There's been a lot placed in his shoulders. Just give the kid a little bit of space. Let him go, let him work, and let him enjoy what he's doing. He's just Dynamo, and you will reap the rewards of that.
Oh, and how about Alex Lima? Because I know he's filled in a lot of areas for you, has played very well in a variety of places, really has been a wonderful signing. How's his health ahead of the Philadelphia game?
Yeah, well, again, he's a big doubt, Glenn. And this is the other thing. I mean, you've sat with me long enough, the dialogue we have, and you know we take, as I say, accountability and responsibility, everything that goes with it. But there's no getting away from the issue that, you know, since the Copa America started, I think we've named the same team once, Glenn, all season. And it's not squad players that I'm missing. I'm missing the, as we have done, the DeMarcus Beasley, Alex Lima, Giles Barnes, Raul Rodriguez missed games, Onyek Garcia, Luis Garrido. I mean, these are first picks in the team. And Alex Lima picked up the injury in the win over Vancouver when we won at home, as I said before, the week before that. So you've not went from beating Vancouver and beating LA Galaxy being a bad team. And Alex Lima, to be fair to him, has did fantastic for us. He's a player I love. And when he's been fit and healthy, then he's in the team. I still think he'll be a doubt for Philadelphia, but we'd love to have him back. And that goes along with Garrido and Boniek and DeMarcus Beasley. The big frustration, as you know, Glenn, for me, is that our players, if I think now, if we talk about DeMarcus Beasley, Boniek Garcia, Luis Garrido now, Giles Barnes, Jermaine Taylor, they are five outstanding players that have been injured and missed loads of games for us. But they never get injured for the Dynamo, Glenn. They've been injured when they've been away representing their international countries. And that's a real source of frustration because we're paying their salary and then the Dynamo are left to bear the brunt of that, of missing top, top players for a huge number of games.
Yeah, you sent healthy players to the Gold Cup and Copa America and you got damaged goods back. And I think that's fair to say, right?
Well, yeah, but it's not one player, Glenn.
Yeah, it's five. Yeah.
I've mentioned five players there. Jermaine Taylor probably will be out to the end of the season. Giles Barnes went to Copa America and the Gold Cup, get banged about. He's missed games and everything else. Boniek Garcia missed 2 months from being away with Honduras, injured. Luis Garrido got taken for the Gold Cup. They never played him. Then he came back, and last week he picks up an injury playing in a friendly, and he's out with his hamstring. Another huge doubt for Philadelphia. He won't be ready for that, I don't think. And DeMarcus Beasley, who's been outstanding for us, goes to the Gold Cup of USA, and he comes back with a calf injury. He's not really played since.
Yes, it's been incredibly difficult. Now I would take this even further, how this affects your full squad, because then you might have to thrust some other younger people into situations maybe you wanted to ease them into around veterans, right? So does this kind of affects everything you're kind of do as you're building a team?
Well, it does in respect of, you know, when you, as you know, when you come into a club and you're looking to implement your plan in respect of the continuity and consistency, we've not been afforded that luxury. So really, we've probably had to go from game to game, juggling with what we've had in terms of who's been injured. Even this week, Raul Rodriguez has picked up the 5 bookings, so he'll be suspended. So you're always juggling the balls up in the air. But what we do, though, is we moving forward, still have a great opportunity. We're in the toughest conference in the West. We're in there with a real opportunity still to go and get on that run, win our games, and put ourselves in with a real chance of making those playoffs, which, of course, if we do, will be an unbelievable achievement given all the circumstances we've had to face.
Well, I want to go back to that, because you made a great comment to me, and I thought it was a fascinating comment, where you said that if the Dynamo get into the playoffs, you felt that this would be a bigger achievement than getting Burnley to the Premier League. Now, I kind of put that out there, and people reacted in a number of different ways, but it was definitely a hot button for people. A lot of people thought it was wonderful. Some were shocked that you would say that. Why don't you explain a little bit more why you would say something like that so they fully understand it? Because I kind of positioned it that, look, it's with the challenges of this league and all these other newness that doesn't come with the Premier League but does come with Major League Soccer.
Yeah, I should probably give balance to that, Glenn, in respect of once we're into the playoffs, being on then to win the MLS Cup, because I think that would be fair. And the reason for that is when you come in, as I did it, but this reminds me of Burnley so many factors in terms of the first season when we came in, we had to stabilise the club and get up and running. And we did that at Burnley. And then into the second season, we knew the type of players that we needed to enhance the squad. So a couple of the players that we had, we moved them on for decent money and brought some young players in and put them into place. And then, obviously, as you know, had a fantastic league. We played 61 games that season, the leagues and the cups. And this is similar in many ways in the Dynamo, in respect of you've inherited a team that missed the Eastern playoffs by 10 points. So never at any time did we inherit a team of champions. Far from it. We inherited a team that missed the Eastern playoffs by 10 points. And we've added Raul Rodriguez really to that. As I said, obviously there was an investment in Kubo, who's only come in laterally. So Raul's probably the one that's played consistently. We did the trade with Alex Lima, some young players here and there. So all you're doing is you're looking then to improve, which we've done. We're in pitching now with 6 games to go, still to have a chance of the playoffs in the Western Conference. So we know everything we're putting in place is going to take us on the top. And all I was saying, I've never had circumstances that your players miss games because they're away playing international duty. And when they are, you have 5 or 6 of them that pick up injuries and miss games. So the reason for the statement and that comment I'm going to make to you was that given all the circumstances we've been through, it'd be an unbelievable achievement to get to the playoffs and go on and win the MLS Cup. That's what I was saying. Not just about the playoffs, but going on and actually winning the Cup from the playoffs.
Gotcha. Owen, listen, as always, thank you very much for being so candid. Our listeners love it. I love it. Thank you very much each and every week for all your time, and good luck with the crossbar challenge down there.
Cheers, Glenn. Pleasure as always, Paul.
So that'll do it tonight. My thanks to Eric Kubo-Torres, Owen Coyle, and, of course, you the listener, you the caller. Remember, it's each and every week at 7 p.m. Also, my thanks to producer Tyler Scott and David Philpott for helping me get the show put together. And we will see you again next Tuesday. Now, a reminder, tomorrow night, it's Dynamo All Access over on YSR 1560 AM. You'll hear from Giles Barnes, Shannon Williams, and many, many more. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Facebook, Soccer Matters. And, of course, Instagram, it's Glenn Davis Soccer. Good night, everybody.
ESPN 97.5.